Trump making good on some campaign promises, signing more than 200 executive actions, unraveling the work of his predecessor. He also withdrew the U.S. from the Paris Climate Accord and the World Health Organization, rescinded diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, and ended federal recognition of transgender identity. On immigration, Trump declared an end to birthright citizenship, which is already facing challenges in court as it is protected by the 14th Amendment.
We think we have good grounds, but you could be right. I mean, you'll find out. It's ridiculous. We're the only country in the world that does this with birthright, as you know.
So that's President Trump as he's signing all of those orders when he went into the Oval Office. And this whole business of birthright citizenship is the one we're going to zero in on today. We will get into this when we're talking with John Eastman today, because actually the Chinese, wealthy Chinese, have been for a long time flying pregnant women into California just before birth, allowing them to give birth, and then they get full citizenship and benefits as being American citizens. Other countries do that as well. Well, as President Trump said, we're the only country in the world that does this, but it takes place under the guise of being legal through the 14th Amendment. And so we're going to kind of extrapolate that. We talked about it briefly earlier in another podcast with Rosemary Jenks, but John Eastman is really a constitutional attorney, and this is his bailiwick. He knows all about this, and so we're going to talk with John today. But first, this is Sandy Rios 24/7. You can call us at 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can find us on any social media platform. You can listen to the show on all of those social media platforms, but you can also listen on any podcast platform that you like, whether it's Apple or Spotify, any of them. Or you can go to our home base, which is AmericanFamilyRadio.net, AFR.net, or you can go to my website, SandyRios.com. As long as the abortion pill is legally mailed and taken in all 50 states, no state can be abortion-free. Abortion pills carry distinct risks to mothers and death to babies, and now accounts for over 60% of all abortions. Preborn's network of clinics shine a light into this darkness by offering free services to women considering the future of their baby, including the abortion reversal pill. This powerful remedy can help to reverse the curse of this toxic medication. Preborn reaches into the heart of babies and mothers with God's love and compassion, and to date, they have rescued over 300,000 babies. Your tax-deductible monthly support of any amount is crucial in the fight for life. Everything that you give goes toward life, and together, with your giving and the work that Preborn is doing, we can reverse this horrible curse. Saving babies isn't just about one life. It's about saving the heartbeat of the entire nation. To donate, just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. All right, if you've ever wondered, you know, what the real story is, and you're going to be wondering because there's a lot of pushback on this right now, the whole issue of birthright citizenship and how it should be interpreted and whether all of the children of illegal immigrants should have been and are now or can be citizens of this country, full citizens, Social Security, Medicare, all the benefits. Like, is that right? Can that be done? Is it constitutional? We'll have that discussion today with John Eastman on this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something. Well, today we're going to have another discussion with John Eastman, and this time on the issue of birthright citizenship. He is one of the nation's leading experts as a constitutional lawyer. He's done papers on this and research, and you can bet he will be the go-to
for lawyers as they're putting together their cases in favor of birthright citizenship. But John is the attorney who represented President Trump on January the 6th. He was the one standing on the platform and speaking to that huge crowd on the issue of whether Vice President Pence could actually accept the electors if he had to constitutionally, or if there was some wiggle room to have him do what the states were requesting, and that was institute a delay until disputes in their states were settled. It was not a call to overturn an election. That is a false narrative, so you need to know that right up front. So John was really the constitutional attorney who gave his best advice to the president and to Vice President Pence on this. But as a result of that, guess what? John lost his place as dean of the School of Law in Chapman University. He was sort of blackballed from the Federalist Society and all of his high positions there. His law license has been suspended in California and in the District of Columbia, where he does a lot of work, appear before the Supreme Court arguing cases. He can't do that right now. And protesters made it so miserable for his family, death threats, all kinds of things, that he had to sell his home and move to a different state. It's been a really difficult ride for John Eastman, and yet he's been the happy warrior. He's been our guest many, many times, in spite of the millions and millions of dollars that he is responsible for in terms of arguing and defending himself on these cases. It's really just so unjust. So we talked to him earlier about January the 6th because he was there that day, because he received a lot of fallout from that. So we talked to him in an earlier podcast about that. But then we pivoted to the whole issue of birthright citizenship. And here is the second part of that discussion. Well, we're going to pivot to something else now, because John is one of the nation's leading experts in birthright citizenship. Who knew? John is one of the nation's leading experts on so many things, and that's not an overstatement. But birthright citizenship. I could not believe, John, when President Trump was signing those executive orders, that he included and shouted out that birthright citizenship needed to stop, saying, we're the only country in the world that does this. So, first of all, I guess, were you surprised that he did that?
No, I'd had some inkling that he was looking at that. He certainly made it a key point of his campaign, both in 2024, but also in 2016. You'll recall it was one of the issues that he announced when he came down the escalator in 2015. And when they attacked him for it and said, you can't do that, it's constitutionally required, he said, no, it's not. And he waived a law review article. That was my law review article explaining what the original meaning of the 14th Amendment meant. And so he's been on this for a very long time. And, you know, in his first administration, he got a lot of pushback from careerists and deep staters and the Justice Department, and it never happened. And so he said, well, we're not going to play that game anymore. And I think that was the key point of many of these executive orders, is that we're going to do what's right, and I'm not going to play the game of begging permission from the deep state as if I work for them rather than the other way around.
Wow. Well, so that's probably how you came to his attention, I'm guessing, and then you ended up representing him. That's really cool. All right, so this is key to this whole thing, and it's certainly key to the problem we have in this country of illegal immigration. I remember stories about the Chinese dropping their pregnant wives in California, hoping they'll give birth in California so their kids will be citizens. That's been happening for a long time, and that's just one country, and we all know about South America and Central and Mexico as well. But what's the genus of this, John? How did this all begin? Why did America start doing this particular thing, letting any child born here become a citizen?
Well, it's unclear when it actually started. We know it was not in place as late as the 1930s, and I trace it more to a change in passport rules by a bureaucrat in the 1960s. It was very clear in the debates over the 14th Amendment. The language doesn't say anybody born here is a citizen. That's what the senator from Hawaii recently posted on her Twitter page. She elided over the key language. It's not. It's born here and subject to the jurisdiction. And so the question is what that means. Is it subject to merely partial or territorial jurisdiction? You got to follow our laws while you're within our borders. Or did they mean something more like the subject to the complete jurisdiction? Now, they were asked that point blank, and the drafter of the language said it means the complete jurisdiction, such as you owe allegiance to this country and not to anybody else, not to any foreign power. That was the language they used. That was the first Supreme Court's decisions in 1873 and 1884. It was the leading treatise writer of the day. The attorney generals of the day took the same position. And then in 1898, you had a Supreme Court decision dealing with a child born to Chinese parents who were permanently domiciled here but were not citizens. And the court held that that child was a citizen, permanently domiciled. The court has never, ever addressed the question of whether the children of temporary visitors, and certainly not the children of illegal visitors, were automatically citizens. It's never addressed that question. And so that was the issue. And they've now, people are falsely reading the old Wong Kim Ark case as if it settled the question forevermore for the children of illegal immigrants or the children of temporary visitors. And it most certainly did not.
So I described a little bit about what was happening, but I bet you could embellish it, like put some flesh on how bad has this been? What has it come to in this country?
Well, look, our two major geopolitical enemies, Russia and China, are taking advantage of this false interpretation of the 14th Amendment. Russian birth tourism in Miami is rampant, and Chinese birth tourism in Los Angeles, as you pointed out, is rampant. Wealthy Chinese mother couples spend up to $100,000 to come in, get a fancy hotel, stay for a month, deliver a baby, get a passport, get a citizenship paper, and head back. And so we now have all of these asserted citizens by our major political enemies that are just waiting. And any time they want to come back with that U.S. passport, they can, unless we get this problem fixed. And then, of course, you know, the number of births in El Paso hospitals to Mexican or Guatemalan citizens far outweighs the births to American citizens. Judge Jim Ho down on Fifth Circuit recently called the illegal immigration an invasion, and that's part of it. So our two major enemies and, countries in South Central America and Mexico that are distinctly less well-off economically and socially than we are taking advantage of this misinterpretation of the 14th Amendment that has somehow creeped into our nation's psyche. And President's executive order is whether the courts agree with him at the end of the day or not, and I think we've got a decent chance of winning those, although there's a hearing up in Seattle this very morning on a preliminary injunction to block his order. The papers are full of false claims about that the 14th Amendment already settled this and the Supreme Court has already held so. It was just demonstrably false. And making demonstrably false statements to a court should be sanctionable and even subject to disbarment. But my guess is that they will escape any such punishment. And we'll see what the courts do. I do think we've got an originalist Supreme Court, and I think they will take more seriously these arguments based on the original meaning of that clause than we would have expected a decade or two ago. So hopefully they'll get it right.
Well, it help me with my memory here, but I'm thinking that on the issue of immigration, John Roberts and Amy Coney Barrett and even Kavanaugh have not been real strong. There have been decisions that don't come to my mind, but I just feel like they're kind of weak on that. I don't know if you see it that way or if you even want to comment on that, but do you have confidence that their sense of constitutional strictness will override their inclinations on this?
I never like to predict particularly what the three justices in the middle of that court are going to do, because they've quite often caught me by surprise. I think the historical record is fairly compelling here. But there are things that other people will say that will give them some cover if they don't want to affirm this executive order. But there was also a bill introduced 2 days ago in Congress that sets out the same thing, and I hope that bill passes in relatively short order. It says, look, the subject to the jurisdiction clause meant complete jurisdiction. They said so, and that was the understanding when people ratified this as well. That was, you know, as I said before, the understanding for the first three or four decades after the thing was passed and remained that understanding, at least until the 1930s and arguably until the 1960s. Look, there was a very significant point on this timeline. In 1924, Congress passed the Indian Citizenship Act, which offers citizenship to all Native Americans. Now, if mere birth on U.S. soil was all you needed, all of those Native Americans would already have been citizens. Oh, the fact that Congress thought that they needed to pass that statute under their naturalization power meant that they viewed, as late as 1924, that this was not mandated by the Constitution. And I think that's right.
Well, that's a great point. And I was just looking, Congressman Brian Babin is the chairman of the House Science, Space, and Technology Committee. He's from Texas, and he's the one that introduced that Birthright Citizenship Act. So that's really good to know, because we certainly need the teeth of Congress to join. And only if they had more of them had more teeth, I would be happy. But I'm happy that he introduced that. Now, here's the question that you kind of raised a little bit by inference, and that is all the kids now that have gotten citizenship because of, you know, their mothers just giving birth on soil, what would happen to them? Is that going to be reversed, or are we stuck with Chinese wealthy moms, you know, having babies in Los Angeles?
President Trump's executive order only is forward-looking. It only applies to anybody born on U.S. soil 30 days after he signed that executive order. So he's not going back and pulling the rug out from people who have been told by our own government officials that they were citizens. So they have a reliance interest on that, and Trump's executive order does not pull the rug out from under them. I wish it were otherwise, but the fact that his order is prospective only means, okay, we're going to live with the bad policy decisions from the last 30, 40, 50 years, but we're not going to keep doing it. And I think that, you know, I think that's a very defensible position. Representative Brian Bilbane's proposed bill that he introduced 2 days ago does exactly the same thing. And think about it. If you've been told by government officials, even if the government officials were wrong, if you've been told that you're a citizen, or you've been told that you have a tax exemption, and you organize your affairs around what our government told you, then you have a claim to say, look, you can't renege on that after the fact. And so there's we call it in the law a reliance interest. And President Trump's executive order avoids any dispute over those reliance interests, and is prospective only. And that means we're not going to be able to fix what has gone before, but we're not going to keep hemorrhaging in the future.
Okay, John, that's great news. I mean, it really is. And that seems just, even though I don't like it either. One last thing I want to ask you about, because I had the privilege of seeing you in Mar-a-Lago a couple of weeks ago and watching the premiere of your movie, The Eastman Dilemma. And I haven't, because I've been gone so much, I have not discussed that much with my audience. Is there a way for people, it's a great, by the way, chronicling of what's happened to you and also what happened in the 2020 election. It's really, really very well done. Is there some way people could watch that? Is that available yet?
It is. It's going to go up shortly on one of the paid streaming platforms, but right now it's available for free streaming at EastmanDilemma.com. And we're also going around the country doing private showings of the screening, and we'll be posting information about where those are going to be on my Legal Defense Fund website, givesendgo.com/Eastman. So those two routes people can use. And yeah, that Mar-a-Lago event was so much fun. When President Trump came down with Marco Rubio and Stephen Bissent and Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni and watched the whole movie with us, that was just extraordinary evening.
It really was. I agree. It was just wonderful. It was like a glimpse, a foretaste of, in the Bible they say, glory divine. But it was a foretaste of what was going to happen when President got elected. It really was lovely. And also, of course, you had this great panel with, Rudy Giuliani and Jeff Clark.
General, General Flynn, Peter Navarro, yeah. And I think the most important person, because he doesn't agree with us politically or even with me legally on these issues, but Alan Dershowitz,
absolutely.
Who plays a prominent role in the movie and comes to my defense and says what they're doing to me is left-wing McCarthyism. And he's absolutely right about that. And I think the purpose of the movie is to let the American people know what's going on so they can get angry about it and demand from their elected officials that something be done about it.
Love it. And I love that night. So thank you for inviting me, John. Thank you. And it's the EastmanDilemma.com, EastmanDilemma.com. And his Gifts and Go is GiftsandGo.com/Eastman. And that's where you can find updates on the movie and other things. John, it's always a privilege and a pleasure. And I'm so happy for you. I'm happy for the J6ers, and I'm happy for you, and I thank God for what's just happened. So go forth and do good things.
Thank you very much, Sandy. I appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you, John. You too. All right, Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
As abortion continues to rise, Preborn is expanding their life-affirming care in the darkest corners of our nation to help more hurting women and save more babies. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $15,000 will place a machine, an ultrasound machine, in a needy women's center, saving countless lives for years to come. To donate, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
President Trump busy his first week signing a series of executive orders targeting DEI initiatives to border security. This includes a move to redefine birthright citizenship. It says, in effect, that a child whose parents do not have legal status or whose mother is here temporarily, like on a tourist visa, is not automatically a U.S. citizen. Since an executive order may not stand up in court, a lawmaker from Deer Park is working to codify that into federal law.
President Trump has made it clear that restoring fairness to our immigration system and defending the true intent of the 14th Amendment are central to his vision of making America great again.
Meanwhile, several lawsuits have already been filed against Trump's executive order. Natalie Brand has more details from Washington, D.C.
CBS News has learned the Trump administration is considering sending as many as 10,000 U.S. troops to the southern border and potentially using military bases to hold migrants awaiting deportation. The Pentagon has already said around 1,500 troops have begun to deploy to help secure the U.S.-Mexico border.
This was a gross miscarriage of common sense to allow people to come in.
Stepped-up enforcement operations across the country have led to nearly 500 undocumented migrant arrests.
And they will be sent home. And those flights are already underway this morning.
Community leaders are warning migrants to be prepared.
If you are deported, you should already have paperwork set so we know where your children need to go. You need to have those legal documents, those powers of attorneys.
A federal judge in Seattle hears arguments today on lawsuits challenging President Trump's executive order seeking to end birthright citizenship. While here on Capitol Hill, Trump allies are working to double down with new legislation.
His historic executive order to end birthright citizenship marks a critical step forward, and now with the Birthright Citizenship Act of 2025, we can solidify these reforms into lasting law.
Attorneys general for more than 20 states suing to block changing birthright citizenship argue it's settled law protected by the Constitution's 14th Amendment. Natalie Brand, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
All right. So there you go. That's what the news media is telling us. Just to be clear, Congress is actually now discussing, we discussed with Rosemary Jenks a couple of days ago about what Congress was doing to codify these orders that President Trump is signing. And in this case, they really are doing something. Andy Biggs is one of the leaders of this issue and this initiative, but there are others who are pushing to codify and pass a law to ensure that birthright citizenship is interpreted the way that John and others, Rosemary Jenks, who we talked to a few days ago, really believe it should be interpreted. I've asked Bruce to join me because he is an attorney and he is a former law enforcement with the FBI. And birthright citizenship, Bruce, anything to add your perspective on that?
Well, I think in a way it's good to go back to what these decisions are based on because this goes back to 1898. There was a Chinese individual who was born here in the United States. His parents were from China. They were here. They had a business in San Francisco. The parents left the United States. The son left America, went to visit his parents, and when he tried to regain entry into the United States, they said, "You are not a citizen because your parents weren't here in a proper way to make you subject to our jurisdiction." So it went to the Supreme Court, and Wong Kim Ark did end up winning admission to the country. And so if you listen to the news people, I know you'll find this hard to believe, but they always manage to leave out a very important part of this story, and that is that Mr. Ark's parents were not in the United States illegally. Even though they were Chinese citizens, they were here as permanent residents, permanent resident aliens, and that gives you status as a citizen for jurisdictional purposes. And if you listen to all these news reports, they always leave out that part. So you're made to think that, well, Mr. Ark's parents were illegal immigrants and he got to stay. Why can't these people? So anyway, I just, you know, 22 Democratic, of course, attorneys generals have filed an action to try to stop Trump's executive order ending birthright citizenship. But as we've talked about, if these justices on the Supreme Court end up deciding this, if you look at the original intent of the 14th Amendment, really the 14th Amendment was drafted after the Civil War, and it was to address the citizenship of slaves who had been brought here against their will. And now they're living in the United States, and it's like, are we going to make them citizens? And they did. And so, and that's a whole different situation than we have here.
Because it's their permanent home. It's their permanent home.
Becoming voluntary. Also, I think something to really, not to be too historical here, but I think it really bears on this case. In 1924, Congress passed the Native Indian Citizenship Act of 1924. And what that did, it offered American citizenship to Native Americans. Now, they were born here. So if you take the left's argument, well, they were born here, so they're citizens. But Congress specifically said no, because they were subject to sovereign nations. The reservations were set up as sovereign nations. They were not, they were kind of quasi-United States. And so, because the 14th Amendment has that language subject to the jurisdiction of, Congress felt they needed to cure that potential defect to show that people born to Native Americans are subject to the jurisdiction of the United States because they're under this act. Their government was melded into the United States government.
You know, let me embellish that because I didn't know, I don't think I knew this until I met you, Bruce, that Indian this remains the case. Indian reservations have their own law, their own set of laws, their own police, their own jails, everything. They are not part of the U.S. System, but they are like they're a territory. They're not a territory, but like that. They're still part of us. They are part of us, and they are overall subject to the jurisdiction of our laws. And that's the issue, the whole jurisdiction clause, because that didn't, I didn't know what that meant, really, Bruce. It means that when you live here, your loyalty has to be to this country and its laws and its system of government. So if you come here and you're not, you came here as an enemy or an alien, or you still prefer your own customs, you wave your own country's flag. I'm not saying you can't do that because you love it, but that's where your heart is, and that's who you really love, and that's who you really think is right, and you come kind of resisting, not really, not with the plan to kind of integrate assimilate into the country as a true American. That's what they're talking about.
Yeah, I think that's what really this issue boils down to also, is that so many people now do not want to assimilate here. They want to come and get the benefits. I mean, we've got proof of it. What you talked about with these Chinese mothers coming here, spending a month in the United States while they're finishing their pregnancy, having their child here in the United States, then claiming, oh, my child is a U.S. citizen. He or she is entitled to a passport, entitled to Social Security, entitled to whatever benefits a U.S. citizen gets. And then they take the child and go back to China. Now, how is that benefiting the United States?
Well, and Bruce, I'm assuming, because I've known this has been happening with Mexican nationals for a number of years, not all of them, but many of them come, sign up for Social Security, then go back home, and the checks are mailed down there. Yeah. Grandparents, their parents get tax dollars. That's, in fact, Mexico, I heard a breakdown once of Mexico's income as a country, and a huge percentage of it was American tax dollars being paid to people who are no longer living here, but they managed to sign up somehow for the benefits here. Well, so this can't happen.
Walk in a Walmart and go to the customer service desk and look at all the Western Union transfers that are being made down to Mexico by people. It will shock you, I think.
It's a raping us of our resources here in this country, because the Social Security system, the Medicare system, was not set up for the world. I mean, we are already in trouble. We haven't felt it yet. Many of us on Social Security, we haven't felt that anything yet, because the Congress doesn't dare cut it. Yet its end is coming. Its end is in sight. And the Medicare program also, because we cannot keep spending, taking care of the health care of all illegal immigrants, which is like, that's what's happening. California has already insisted they let illegal immigrants go to college free. They let them have free benefits. They support them, free phones, free, you know, it's just wrong. It's wrong on every level, and I think people are beginning to understand this, and we have to stop it, and that may mean some people will get hurt. People who did things illegally, and they should have known when they did that it wouldn't be a forever thing. They're not entitled to it. I mean, if you rob a bank and you bought a house with it and you later sorted out your life, you still owe that money to the bank. You might have to sell your house and pay a price for what you did. And it's kind of the same thing. If your parents came over here illegally, if your parents robbed a bank and you lived in the house that they built, you're not entitled to that house. The money for that house has to go back to pay remuneration for the people that they robbed. So it's the same principle. And so you got to we need to learn to think more clearly about this issue and still have compassion. You can still help people privately, not to circumvent the law. You can help them if they are in need, if they need food, if they need something, you can help them. But that doesn't mean you should be for laws that undermine the sovereignty, the future of your own children, future of your own families. I hope you can sort that out in your mind. Maybe we can discuss it again at a later date. I think that's everything, and I hope that you all enjoyed this. I want to thank our sponsor, Timothy Plan, because they let you put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Honey, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, honey.
And thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.